Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. We want to encourage you to visit our website, mediatalk101.org, for helpful articles and videos and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which is also available not only on our website, but on amazon.com. as well as CaptivatedTheMovie.com. And I'm your host, Philip Telfer. I'm the founder and president, and I'm here with my friend, co-host, co-worker, and fellow skateboarder, Rhett Simpkins. So, how are you doing today, Rhett?
Very well. How are you, Philip?
Good, good. It's been a while since you and I have done any extreme sports together.
Yes, it has been a while.
And I always thought that that would be something we should plan, like a Media Talk 101, a skate park outing, but it never happened.
Can we do that via Skype?
I don't think so. But there is a skate park, I noticed, just right down the road from where we now live. And I'm thinking two things. Part of me is thinking, hey, I've got my skateboard, or, you know, maybe they allow bikes. Some skate parks don't allow bikes. But I've got a skateboard, so that was my first thought. It'd be kind of fun to go and do a little skating. And then, of course, the second thought, the more important one, is, hey, this is a place where I could do some evangelism. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fishing hole. And I did hear news about a church in New Braunfels, Texas, that they have some deliberate outreach on a regular basis to that skate park. So that,
cool.
That was made me glad to hear that, but this isn't really the time of the year to be skateboarding or doing freestyle biking or anything like that, is it?
No, not really.
Well, this week we are going to have a very short podcast because this week is Thanksgiving, and we do pre-record this podcast, but this will be, generally we release our podcast on Thursday. And I think this one will be out on Wednesday because, you know, we don't want you listening to our podcast on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Do we, Rhett?
No.
Yeah, people shouldn't be listening to podcasts on Thanksgiving. They should be spending time with family. Only unless you're traveling and there's nothing good on the radio to listen to, or you're having a hard time having good conversation or something, I suppose there would be an exception. But generally, you know, we don't want you to be listening to our podcast on Thanksgiving. Listen to it the day after, the next day, but we do want to just talk about some things that we're thankful for as a ministry, and so this will be a little different than usual. So now, last week, Rhett, we were talking about cell phone use and just media in general and how it can take our attention away from the people who are in our presence. Now, why don't you share a few thoughts with me, you know, and how that relates to holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas or any time that we're getting together to celebrate something like birthdays?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, if you're distracted by a device, whether that's your cell phone or any other thing, you know, you're not having that presence. And so it's almost like you're not even there, even if you are there physically. And I can remember, you know, so many holidays in my past growing up where if it wasn't, well, it wasn't usually cell phones then, but, you know, the TV was a big distraction for most people. And so you get together, you sit down, and you watch TV, but you're not really together.
Oh, no doubt. The television has been kind of the iconic distraction, especially around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's always a big football game on, or, you know, some sort of special, you know, they have television movie specials on Thanksgiving. But today it's gone even beyond that, because no, it's not just the television that's taking attention away from the family gathering. It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's, you know, it's Twitter, it's the, you know, it's checking the news on our cell phones or whatever. I mean, there are so many distractions today, and the problem is that when you build habits, you know, throughout the week and throughout the month and throughout the year, those habits are not easy to break. So, mm-hmm. you know, generally what people, you know, even if they think, wow, I would like to, you know, hey, this is going to be a great time to gather as family. But if you've had this practice of not prioritizing the people that are in your presence, then you're not going to do so well when you get in these situations. You're going to find yourself uncomfortable and constantly gravitating towards media. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that. I've been to a lot of Thanksgiving gatherings where it was just like that. It's, you know, you have a meal, you do some talking, but then the TV goes on and everybody gravitates around the TV and just stares at a football game for hours. And you're not sharing with one another. You're not talking. Now, this is a lot different, I believe, than the purpose of Thanksgiving. So mm-hmm. So what do you know? Let me quiz you here. What do you know about the history oh, history boy. Of Thanksgiving? You went to government school, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Hey, yeah, I'm a product of my environment.
Yeah, they don't want to teach you about the Christian foundations of this great nation of ours, do they? You know, they're mm-hmm. going to.
Well, of course, you know, everybody has the image of the pilgrims and the Indians and you know, them meeting together to have a feast together, but I can't say that I honestly know, you know, the real details of that event.
Sure. Well, you know, the whole history, you know, is more than we can cover in this podcast, but it's something I've had an interest in, and it's actually fresh in my mind because this afternoon, before we record this podcast, I was invited to attend a special lunch at the University of Texas, San Antonio. Which was an outreach through of several ministries, primarily the Navigators, and we have a man in our church who is on staff with the Navigators, and he works with international students, and so they had a special lunch today, reaching out to international students at the UTSA campus, and the subject was understanding Thanksgiving. Hmm. You know, so there was there to provide a meal, but also share. Now, this was a Chinese pastor who from San Antonio who gave the talk today, and it was very interesting to hear someone who's come from outside this country who has actually done the research and processed it all. And in fact, what he shared today was, he says, this is the first time I'll be giving this talk in English. He says, hmm. This is originally prepared. He says, I did all my study in English, But I've always given this in Chinese, so this will be a little bit more of a challenge for me, and so he went through the basics. Of course, for those who know the history, it does go back to the pilgrims and the settlers who came here looking for religious liberty, mm-hmm. Their first year was very, very difficult. You know, it was half the people died, you know, the first winter. And it took them a while to get established and for those who are history buffs, you know that I'm really compressing this because we're trying to keep this podcast short. But really, Thanksgiving wasn't some sort of annual event at that time. It was what they did after their first harvest, you know, which wasn't real bountiful, but you know, in what we would think of as bountiful, but they recognized that the essence of it was they recognized that God is to be thanked for our provisions. Mm-hmm. You know, even though we work hard, we labor, you know, we think of ourselves as providers, but ultimately it is God who is the provider, and they had a festival to celebrate, to come together, but to also give thanks to God. And now eventually this comes down through our history, and it's eventually established as an annual holiday, but in its very essence was meant to be a time to give thanks to God, you know. And so that's what for those history buffs out there, you know, forgive me for really compressing that to almost, you know, children's book story. But there are, you know, if you really want to get the full story, you can get the book, The Plymouth Plantation by William Bradford. In fact, my friend and co-pastor here down in Texas is a man named Richard Wheeler. Some people know him as Little Bear. This is a book that he published through his ministry, Mantle Ministries. It's still available today, that you can find copies of The Plymouth Plantation. But, you know, he says that if he was stuck on a desert island and could only have two books with him, he says it would be the Bible and The Plymouth Plantation. You know, wow. So that's how important that story is to him. And so certainly if you want the detailed account, you know, it's the eyewitness account. I guess you wouldn't call it just an autobiography because it's someone who was there telling the story. But you can go right to the source and learn the history of those early days of this country. So now for this podcast, I thought, since we want to keep it short and we want to encourage families to, during this season, you know, this begins, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving is known as Black Friday. And by the way, I'll quiz you again because you're the next generation below me.
Uh-huh. I've got a lot of learning to do. I'll admit that.
So can you tell me what Black Friday means?
What it means?
Yeah. Like what, why do we call it Black Friday?
Well, black is not a positive kind of color generally. So I think people call it Black Friday because it's, you know, we just got done being thankful and now we're rushing out and just being, I don't know, spending all kinds of money on things we don't need. I don't know.
Well, that's a interesting interpretation, but it's wrong.
Really?
You know, so a lot of people don't know. Actually, you know, if you were a business person or if you ran a business, you would understand that a lot of businesses throughout the year are actually financially in the red. Hmm. You know, they're running a deficit because they know that it's towards the latter part of the year, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where the profit is going to be made. So it's kind of the beginning of the season where businesses go into the black rather than the red. So that thus you have, you know, it's a retail driven day. You know, so Black Friday. Well, that's now it's encroaching on Thursday, and you know people just go crazy for these specials. And every year we'll probably see it again this year in the news on Friday. We'll read about some stampede at a Walmart, where people just are not loving each other, and they're so, you know, set on getting this deal that they'll, you know, injure one another. And it just seems to happen every year. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to encourage, you know, a lot of this is driven, and we've talked about this before on our podcast, is discontentment. And this is one of those things that is being disseminated and actually trained, discipled. We're a nation, a culture that is continually being discipled by popular media. And popular media is for one, in a lot of the popular media, it's always teaching discontentment, you know, and even the more innocent shows, you know, a lot of people would talk about, oh, I love the show, you know, this particular show, that particular show, like the makeover shows or whatever. But, you know, that still breeds discontentment because mm-hmm. you see, you know, whether it's a business or a house or whatever, or a car, you know, being transformed. You know, it may be entertaining to people, but generally you're thinking at the end of the show, wow, I wished my car, you know, someone would give my car a makeover or my house a makeover or my business a makeover. Or, you know, they got so many of these shows, I think now. I don't know. I don't have a TV. I don't watch any of these. But it's fostering discontentment. And that is a philosophy. That is an empty deception. These are things that Jesus spoke a lot about. In fact, it's one of the few things that Jesus said, beware of, you know, beware that you guard your heart against greed for, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, for even when one has an abundance of possessions, his life does not consist of his possessions. Mm-hmm. This is a very carnal, worldly mentality that is disseminated through today's media. Now, to top that off, broadcast media, what makes broadcast media, that world spin, is advertising. You know, that's what drives, that's what funds a lot of broadcasting. You know, there's nothing's for free. You know, so even if you had an antenna on your TV and you were taking advantage of the digital, you know, signal coming in, and you think, wow, this is free. No, it's not free. You know, it's all being paid for by advertisers, and you sit through that, and what are advertisers trying to do? Their goal is to make you feel discontent with what you have, you mm-hmm. know, and make you feel like, I've got to have this, I need this. So this was not the purpose of the founding of this nation, and it wasn't the ideals, you know, that were set forth. The original ideals were to understand that we're looking for a religious liberty and freedom, and also a place where we acknowledge God in all of our ways and we give Him thanks. And so we would just want to encourage you as families or individuals who are listening to this podcast to guard your heart during this season, not to get sucked into all of the frenzy of consumerism and greed and discontentment, but to remember to stay grounded in God's word and to let your thinking be transformed. You know, it says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, which I believe in the Phillips translation, it says, do not let the world force you into its mold. So don't be forced into the world's mold, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we need to be transformed in our thinking and in our perspective of this world. And that's, you know, that's what this ministry is about, is also promoting a biblical worldview, you know, the lenses that we look through. And so we want to exhort you to do that. And it does have very much to do with media discernment as well. I mean, you know, Rhett, I think people all throughout history, long before electronic entertainment, had issues with greed and discontentment. What mm-hmm. do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
so we don't, that's nothing new. But what is new is how these things are constantly put in front of us. If you mm-hmm. think, if you were to go back to the time of, you know, those pilgrims, you know, settlers, you know, their children were not being exposed to 40,000 ads a year, mm-hmm. you know, on TV. They weren't being exposed to the flyers coming in to the mailbox, you know, advertising all this stuff. They weren't dealing with constant noise through radio or advertisements on TV or billboards or things continually putting things before them saying, you need this stuff. Life will be better if you have this stuff. And so no doubt greed and discontentment have been something that mankind has struggled with ever since the Garden of Eden, you know, when Adam and Eve fell into sin. But it's become hyperactive, you know, in our time and day. And so we want to counter that. And one of the ways we want to counter that is we kind of close this short podcast today is I'd like to share, you know, I'd like to give testimony. I'd like to, or even give, bless God's name, you know, for the things I'm thankful for in this ministry. And certainly one of them is I'm thankful for you, Rhett, and your faithful ministry with us. And we've got quite a history, you know, that, mm-hmm. that goes back to when you were in junior high and I was your youth pastor, and to see the work that God's doing in your life and your family, and it's tremendous. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful to God as I see His grace being manifested, you know, in your life. And I'm also very thankful for an unsung hero in Media Talk 101, and most of you have never heard of her. Her name is Rayanne Betzelberger, but she's probably one of the more important parts of this ministry. Mm-hmm. She's actually our prayer ministry coordinator. And many people may not realize, if you're, you know, people who are familiar with Media Talk 101, this is one of the behind the scenes ministries that we do. And when I go out to speak, or when Rhett finally gets out and speaks.
Yeah.
Right? When Rhett gets out there and starts speaking as well. What we do is, especially if it's for youth, we let them fill out a card just giving us a prayer request, because we believe that prayer is powerful and prayer is so needed in this generation. So we don't want to just come in and give them information and say, okay, we hope you make it in this crazy world we live in. We know that we want to follow up with prayer. And so we seek out prayer requests from students, junior high, high school, and young adults. But then we take those prayer requests and we don't just put them in a stack and lay a hand on them and say, oh, God bless all these young people that are struggling with their media choices. Amen. What we do is, Rhett, actually, this is one of your jobs that you do, tediously types up all these prayer requests. And I'm very thankful for that, because I used to do this. Mm-hmm. It's very tedious. So I'm thankful that Rhett is doing this now. And I'm thankful that he also has to interpret all the poor handwriting, you mm-hmm. know. So I've got, don't get me started on my beef about government schools today and what are they teaching these kids, you know, because I, for years now, it's a skill in itself, just interpreting poor handwriting and bad spelling. And so you're gaining in those. So, but we take those requests, and then once Rhett types them all up, we send them to Rayanne Betzelberger, who is a young lady up in Michigan who's been a volunteer with us for several years. And what she does is she coordinates another set of volunteers that we have across the country. And a lot of them are young people, some adults. And what they do is they're assigned a handful of these requests, maybe 3 to 5 requests. And Rayanne sends them those requests and the addresses. And then for these students, and what those volunteers do is they lift those needs up in prayer specifically and spend time praying for each of those requests. And then they go the next step and they actually will write a handwritten card of encouragement to that person they're praying for, letting them know that they're praying for them, and just whatever God might put on that volunteer's heart to write a note or a scripture, something to encourage them. They do that, and they, you know, we provide the envelopes and the cards and the stamps, but they have to provide that prayer and that thoughtful word, and then they put it in the mail. It's kind of it's not an anti-electronic media. It's kind of just a alternate to electronic. You know, it's not sending an email. It's something tangible that they, and so many young people, how much mail do they actually get that's not junk mail? Mm-hmm. You know, a handwritten card in the mail. So that's a tremendous amount. We've literally sent out thousands of these cards over the years, and it could not happen apart from our prayer ministry volunteer coordinator. And for many years, it was a young lady named Linnea Caswell, and then she got married and started a family, and then it passed along to one of our volunteers, Rayanne. So all that to say, I'm very grateful, I'm very thankful for Rayanne and her ministry. She's just done a tremendous job coordinating that, and she's just a unique young lady that we're just so thankful for. And I'm thankful for all those prayer volunteers that are mm-hmm. that are there. I'm thankful for, you know, my board of directors that have come alongside me to help give guidance and counsel for this ministry, and who pray for us, and for those, and I'm also thankful for those who have supported us in some way or another, whether it's through your prayers, through encouraging words, or even through, you know, some financial gifts. Now, we don't generally solicit financial gifts. It's not that we don't need help, but we just, I've just always had this thing, you know, it seems like ministries spend so much time asking for money, and I know that all ministries need money in order to run, but I just personally get tired of hearing it, so I thought, I don't want to be a person who's always harping about, you know, you need to give to us. But nevertheless, there are people who still volunteer to do that, and it does help, and we are so grateful for that, and we're so mm-hmm. thankful, because this ministry does take resources in order to continue to go, and so I'm very thankful to God over the years, not just this year or not just this month, but now since 2005, God has sustained this ministry through a variety of ways, but a lot of that has been through just people who've said, you know, I want to help. And so we're just thankful for that. And I'll give Rhett, why don't you share a few things that you're thankful for?
Sure.
And then we'll wrap this up.
Sure, absolutely. There's so much to be thankful for. And, you know, as you kind of gave your thankful thoughts, I was thinking, of course, of how, you know, Media Talk 101 has kind of shaped and molded me over the years. And I remember when you were, you know, just beginning it, you would take me along and just allow me to be a part of what you were doing. And I'm just so thankful for the influence that you have had on my life and what Media Talk 101 has done in so many people. And I can totally understand that because I'm a product of that. And so God has used this ministry in many ways in my life. And it's amazing to me to see, you know, how so many years later, now I'm much more involved after Captivated and then, you know, the ability to bring me on. A couple of years ago, I never would have thought that I would be part of Media Talk 101 in that sense. So I'm very grateful to the Lord for orchestrating all of that and allowing me to, you know, step out and to begin, you know, doing more in ministry and being part of what this message is and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through the idea of media discernment, and which is very important. And so I'm very thankful for that, thankful for what Captivated's doing, and just very thankful for what I believe God is going to do with it in the future.
Amen. Amen. Well, and we're thankful for you, our faithful podcast listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, thank you for joining us each week. And if you have a question, you know, it's been a while since we've got any questions from our listening audience, so that either tells us we don't have a listening audience anymore, or we've answered all your questions. And,
yeah.
You know, if that was the case, then maybe we shouldn't keep this podcast going. I don't know. But maybe we've just, you know, answered all the questions. I don't think that's the case. You're probably busy, and which is good. And you probably don't want to be in front of your computers typing email to Philip and Rhett. But if something comes to your mind, we would appreciate it. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions. And we'll join you next week.
You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. Click on the audio tab to get a free download of Philip's audiobook, What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. And if you haven't seen our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, be sure to order your copy today. Parents Television Council calls it deft and powerful, and numerous moms, dads, and pastors say it's a must-watch for every Christian family and church. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org.